Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. And opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Welcome in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. It is the very last day of May. I didn't think this month would ever end. I said, man, I kept looking at the calendar like,
when is the first?
And then I kept saying, okay, wait a minute.
Is today the first? No, it's 29th.
Yeah, it's like, no, this is like the 27th. What? A whole nother 2-3 weeks left in the month. So anyway, it is May the 31st, 2017, and it's still the 31st, it's still not June the 1st. I was already typing June today, and I was like, wait a minute, it's still May. Hey, May. I don't know why May was trying to hang in here like this for some reason, but it's still May the 31st. Yeah, right. And, you know, today is actually a significant day in Black history also because today was like the inception or the commencement of the bombing of Black Wall Street, Little Africa, the Greenwood section of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we will discuss Black Wall Street, just pay homage to those victims and survivors. I listened to a video of one of the oldest living survivors. I think her name is Olivia Hooker. I believe it's Olivia Hooker. And she is still alive. She's like 102 or 3 years of age.
Oh, my.
So, yes. That's so wild because when I Googled her, I'm like a Dexter show. Goggled when the man said, "I goggled you." I goggled you. Anybody that's seen Dexter, that series, I don't know if it's on HBO or whatever, but HBO, one of those shows, or something. Dexter, crazy, but oh my God, I love that show, that series. That man said, "I goggled you." Dexter looking at him like, "You what? You mean you Googled me?" So anyway, when I Googled her, I found out that I didn't see a death date. So I imagine she's still alive. And if she is, my goodness, I would love to meet her and interview her. We have to record the history. I always say that. Mm-hmm. So tonight, we are picking up on part 3, Featherlight. And let me welcome you in, Featherlight. Just skip right over and went into the whole topic. Just so anxious to hear you share this alternative healing part 3. Yes. Namaste to you, and how has your week been?
My weekend?
How has your week been?
How has my week been? It's been interesting. One of those insightful past few days, which is good. Great, I live across the street from the park, so that I can go and get an earthing in.
Yes, yes. That earthing, that grounding. We need that.
Grounding,
I do need to schedule some tree therapy with you. Yes. I do need to schedule the tree therapy. By the way, if anyone would like to schedule tree therapy, if you're in the Houston area, you can schedule tree therapy with Feather Light. It's so healing.
Yeah, the Qigong actually brings down my blood pressure. No,
Qigong.
Huh?
Qigong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Qigong and Tai Chi, all of those different practices, they are so, so healing for our organs, different organs that we have. And with so many people having all these liver problems leading to dialysis and kidney failure and pancreatic cancer, we really could benefit from looking into some alternative healing, which is why this evening we are picking back up on our alternative healing series. This is part three. And
it's so much. There's so many different modalities of healing that are buried, you know. They're out there.
That are just not practiced here in America, in the Western culture. A lot of these practices, but in other parts of the world, people practice many of these different modalities. And it is, it's so extensive, so much to discuss. I mean, you can actually study this for years. I was enrolled in one semester of a class on alternative healing, and that wasn't enough. That was just basically an intro. So I love this topic. I love it, love it, love it. I am looking forward to picking back up on this. And tonight we will talk about hand mudras. Maybe a little bit on healing frequencies. Maybe we'll have some time. And are we discussing the April Cage feather light?
No, not the April Cage. Just the mudras.
Okay, the mudras. Well, mudras, my goodness, that in and of itself, you could go on for like a whole lecture on the hand mudras and the benefits. I look forward to hearing more about the mudras.
Put some things down, because it really is a lot. I'm just going to hit the basics. And it's few. There's mudras for losing weight, which I'll share.
It's
mudras for so much.
Amazing. Based on exactly what you're looking for, just like the crystals and the gemstones, a gemstone usually calls or speaks to you, as they say. It speaks to you if you're viewing some gemstones and trying to decide on which one you want. If you just look at them and touch them and feel them, the right one will speak to you.
Right. You'll feel drawn to it.
You'll be drawn to it, exactly. That's how it was explained to me. You'll be drawn to it. And it's good to know, like, what gemstone you need. It's good to know what you're looking for, what you need in your life. Like, if you need to focus more, then you're more directed to that gemstone. You'll be able to, or you could just research what gemstone is best for you to be able to focus better in life.
Just type in gemstones for focus and clarity.
Gemstones for focus and clarity.
Gemstones for emotional healing.
Emotional healing. Psychic ability.
Empowerment.
Want to indulge in that? Want to activate those abilities?
Psychic energies out here. The psychic vampires. I need some
muscle. And our African spirit segment tonight we are honoring the brothers and sisters of MOVE up in Philadelphia. I remember the first time, and I've spoken about MOVE before. I remember the first time someone gave me this little small green booklet about MOVE. And I tell you, after I read that, it opened my eyes even more so and, like, changed my life in a certain way. After reading about MOVE, I was like, what? Drop the bomb. And it's you know, we're talking tonight about MOVE, and we're talking about Little Africa. And both of these communities and groups of people had bombs dropped on them.
Yes, exactly.
Mhm. I mean, terrorists.
Domestic, living here in America.
Yes. Yes, they dropped C4 on the MOVE brothers and sisters in Philadelphia. And then in Little Africa, hell, it was the damn government. Came in dropping bombs. Well, dropped a bomb and burned the people up, shot them, killed them. Men, women, and children. So we will honor the brothers and sisters of MOVE tonight for our African spirit segment, and we honor them with the Mind, Body, and Spirit Awards. We need to send them their Mind, Body, and Spirit Award, the brothers and sisters that are still incarcerated. In fact, free all political prisoners and free the land. So, if you would like to send a letter to us here at Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show, you can do that. If you have questions or comments about life, your spiritual journey, health, relationships, dating, career, questions, sex, and love, you can send them to Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show at gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. And let me say hello to Scotty, too. I don't know if Scotty's still out there listening. But hey, Scotty, how are you? Hopefully all is well with you. Namaste. Namaste. From the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. So I have some good news that I would love to share. But let me see if Featherlight, you have a quote. Do you want to share a quote before we go into our topic?
Yes.
Okay. Great.
To be beautiful means to be yourself. You don't need to be accepted by others. You need to accept yourself. And that is a quote by Thich Nhat Hanh. The most important decision of your life, the one that will affect every other decision you make, is the commitment to love and accept yourself. It directly affects the quality of your relationship, your work, your free time, your faith, and your future. Why then is this so difficult to do? It is. It is very, very difficult for a lot of people to do. To love themselves. They'll skip all over loving themselves. They'll be the kindest people in the world. Do anything for you. Then they'll rebel. Take all kinds of mistreatment. So this is something to keep in mind. We will, here in Mind, Body, and Spirit, will share different tips on what we can do to learn to actively begin love yourself. For one thing, if your self-perception, feeling worthy, requires you to see yourself with fresh eyes. Fresh eyes, not from someone else's eyes. Not from someone else's perception. Who they think you are, because their perception is based on what's in their head. You have to make your own perception of who you are and what you think, and what you think something is or isn't, not based on somebody else. That's one step. So those are my touch my soul
is very difficult for people to love themselves. I think especially, I guess I can speak more so, of course, from a woman's perspective, because we're taught as women to nurture everybody else. Be there for your man, to be there for your children, to help your parents. Sacrifice. Put everyone else first. Put Jesus first, put God first, and everybody else first. Children first, and then think about yourself. So it becomes a challenge for many people, and particularly women, I would say. Just speaking from a woman's perspective. I mean, you may feel a different way, and you're more than welcome to call in and share your thoughts. Speaking of which, let me share the number for people to call in. 866-510-9025. 866-510-9025. You can call in. Press ** to unmute yourself, and we'd love to hear from you. So, back to loving yourself. It's good to write that love letter and make those affirmations in the morning, which I never do. I think I go through it the whole day, though. I may not make those affirmations first thing in the morning, but I'm constantly on a mission to uplift myself throughout the day, because I used to kick myself quite often, like, you should have done that. Why did you do that? But now I'm like, okay, you can do it and stay focused, and this is just a little obstacle. You'll work through it, think through it, meditate, relax, take some time off, do whatever you need to do, and just pull it together, girl. You got this. So that's my uplifting and motivating speech to myself. So I guess I do kind of practice a little into loving yourself more so than previously in my life. So I was kind of like a little Debbie Downer, but now I'm a happy, what is it? I was a Debbie Downer a little, but now it's a what? A jovial Judy, I guess.
Jovial Judy.
Jovial Judy. Yes, now I can sit back and say, Anyway, so thank you, Featherlight, for sharing that. But you did mention also about making the affirmations and loving yourself and writing the love letter. Have you written your love letter to yourself as of yet?
Oh, yes. I wrote a love letter actually a couple of years ago. I just hadn't shared it yet. But I will.
One thing that I
do now. You mentioned about not being so hard on yourself. One thing that I have incorporated into loving myself is when I do something good, then I'll hit myself on the back mentally. Like I would think that I left something. And I'll say, do I have to go back? And then I'll look in some little special place and I'll say, ha, you're so smart. You know, I will pat myself on the back when I do something good, when I do something that I should, you know, just say, hey, that was great. I'll say it instead of kicking myself for the things that I don't do that I think should be better or right. So I've addressed that. And it feels really good.
So I was about to go into some of these hot topics. I have to mention this one. I'm just now kind of finding out about Featherlight. Do you know that a noose was found at the African American Museum in D.C.?
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that. I'm not going to say I can't believe it, but it is a little, it's just like, at the new, this is the new museum. So, somebody was able to get in and hang up some nooses. I mean, where are all the cameras?
And
I think that this, is not the first incident of that nature. I'll look into this story. I'll look into this. But if anybody else has heard about this, do call in and share some details. I'll look more into this myself. News found at the African American Museum in D.C. I have to call my contacts in D.C. and inquire about that one. Many people are talking about feather light, this another terrorist attack in Portland, Oregon. But now, see, if you do that research on Portland, Oregon has been an extremely racist community. When you go back and look at that Houston, that history, it's a reason why, and I think that's partially the title of this article, there's a reason why Oregon has remained so white. Because at one time, that area forbade any blacks from coming into that area. You were not allowed. Blacks were prohibited from living in certain parts of Portland and that whole Oregon area. Now, they pretend like they're so liberal and all that. Yeah, they're liberal in the things that they want, like environment or whatever, this, this, and that. But when it comes, for a lot of them, when it comes to blacks' rights and human rights and respecting black people, that is out the window. They're not liberal on that. A lot of those liberals, those are those kind of liberals that Dr. Martin Luther King said were quite dangerous.
Yeah, I don't know how being labeled liberal entitles you to be labeled humane. I mean, you accept
you're liberal on certain issues.
You're
liberal in the sense that you're for abortions. You're liberal in the sense you want public schools to be funded and all this kind of whatever, things like that. Yeah, you know, equal housing or school, but not necessarily everything equal.
No.
I think that you're equal to me, your existence. Not that kind of equality.
No.
Not that kind of equality. Like some of the Quakers. You're not like me. I mean, I think you should have your rights and not be killed and enslaved, but now you're still inferior. So in Portland, Oregon, I think it happened like Friday, this another white terrorist decides he wants to attack these two supposed to be Muslim young ladies. One of them had a hijab, so she was Muslim. But anyway, he started telling them go back to Saudi Arabia. Now this is what really gets me. They start calling off, like they call some of the Sikhs, they say some of the Indian Sikhs or Pakistani Sikhs are from Saudi Arabia or wherever. Anyway, these people don't even know where these people come from. This is my
point. They have no idea.
You keep attacking people. You call a Colombian, a Mexican, go back to Mexico. They never even lived in Mexico. They're from Colombia or they're from Honduras. You know what I mean? Things like that. Just
right.
Ridiculously.
Right.
Just insane. Just insanity. And hatred. So full of ignorance and hatred. Some of these people. Mm-hmm. And so he attacks attempts to attack these two women, and two young men jumped in to protect these women, and three men, and two of them were fatally wounded. So here we are with another attack. Another attack, and we have people that have lost their lives because someone is offended by their existence. So my condolences to those people, the family members of those people who suffered that attack. And then there was another young man, Feather Light, Darius Smith. Unfortunately, he lost his life at the hands of I think he was, let me get this story together. Because his mother is looking for answers to what happened in terms of him being killed by this, I believe it was another officer. So my condolences go out to this young man's family, Darius Smith. Let's see, he has a lawyer. Okay, there. Let me get back to the top of this. Because this story, I have not heard this in the mainstream media. And see what's happening right now. We have all of these attacks constantly. They're occurring like every day or every other day. And some of these stories are not being discussed in corporate media because we know why. These people want to pretend like these are isolated events, and these are not. Okay,
and
yes, it was U.S.
full of color.
Yeah, absolutely. U.S. Custom and Border Patrol officer who works at the San Francisco International Airport. He shot and killed Darius Smith, 15 years of age. And see, this is why I keep asking for this challenge, for people to get together and let's see how we can protect these young people. So this happened in Los Angeles, and this Border Patrol officer claims that he was being robbed by Darius and his friends. Of course, there's video, but the police have confiscated the video. But they said they can't view it right now for some reason. They just can't view it right now, even though they were
can't
able
view it.
To. Yeah, you can't view it. I just don't understand why you have that video, but you can't view it just yet. So this happened like over Memorial Weekend, and let's see. The lawyer is saying that although this Border Patrol officer is saying that the man attacked him from behind, this is not true. Some other witnesses say that this Border Patrol officer shot Darius in the legs and then stood over him and shot him 3 times in the chest. So my condolences go out to this young man's family. Another 15-year-old. Remember, just not to, what was that? Just 3 weeks ago, the other little 15-year-old Edward. I think he was 14 or 15. The Edwards young man. So, brothers, once again, brothers challenge. Could you organize after you finish watching the game, or something like that? That would be great. I initially started out with asking brothers to forfeit one of those days, but I know it's hard to break old habits, but just after the games, could you get together and kind of talk about how you can protect the family? That would be great. And let me know how that's going. Let us know how that's going. We'd love to hear that. Speaking of another little boy, Featherlight, you know I have to share this. The cop that killed Tamir Rice, he was fired, but not for killing Tamir Rice. He was fired because he was not truthful in his application when he applied for this position with the Cleveland Police Department. So that's why he was terminated.
Oh,
not
wow.
Because he killed a little boy.
Not
yeah. He provided false information on his job application to become a cop.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
And the other officer that was with him, let's see, Frank Garmbeck, he faced a 10-day suspension. Yeah, just a 10-day suspension.
Wow.
And he'll also have to go through training. Yeah, he also have to go to training. So, let me see here. I do want to share this good news, Featherlight, because I know how you love for me to share good news after all that dreadful news, but I have to share that. So, checkmate. Black boy Joy wins a game. There's a young man, a young boy, Kari Myrick. 12 years of age, he's been crowned the first individual national youth chess champion in the entire
right.
Baltimore. Yes.
All right.
Black excellence. Okay. Yes. He began playing chess in the first grade, and he's had formal chess training, and is also part of the Baltimore Kids Chess League. His mother, wow, Ioana Spears, brings him to the barbershop on a routine basis to grasp a rawness of the craft. So he outscored 249 players from 28 states. Okay, he outscored 249 players from 28 states.
28 states.
Absolutely. I applaud this young man. This young boy, I applaud you young man child.
Yes.
Let's see. His final championship game was against a Texas opponent, and he said that it was his toughest game yet. But the key to winning, says Tyree, is not giving up. Keep thinking and pushing until you get there. He said that's how he was able to win. Kyree Myrick. Yes.
Wonderful.
Chess champion. 12 years of age. I love it. 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 Indeed. Indeed. So I'll pick back up on this school disparities report. Maybe we can share that next week if we have enough time. I'll pick up on that later. I don't know if anyone had an opportunity to read that report, but it basically discusses the disparities in the public school system and what Black and Latino parents feel about how the school system is educating their children or not educating their children. It's a great report. You can probably Google that, but if we have time, we'll review some of that, some of the findings of that report. How? Any thoughts you'd like to share, Feather Light, before we move into our topics for tonight?
Did you have any information about the artist?
Yes, I do. Okay. So this artist, she has upset many people. A Chicago artist. I love Chicago. She recreated the infamous Michelangelo piece, Creation of Adam, and the images, the picture, actually has. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. People are familiar with that piece. So she has recreated this beautiful image with Black people, melanated people, and it is gorgeous. You can Google this. She has painted God as a Black woman, and I'm so sorry I do not have her name in front of me, but you can Google that. I want to say I found that article on Blavity. I like that new word. I do want to say I found that on Blavity. Let's see. I'll find her name because I need to remember her name. Beautiful painting. Beautiful. So check that out. Have a search that one. So that's my piece on her. And also, people in New York may be familiar with Deborah Danner, NYPD sergeant. He's been charged with fatally shooting her. Deborah suffered from schizophrenia, and she was having an episode, and the cop went in and shot her because she reports state that she charged at him with a bat. So but when people are having those episodes, which I've never experienced, that having to try to calm someone down that's maybe having an episode like that, a mental episode, cops that are not trained for that, well, first of all, cops shouldn't be trained for that. They should not even come to that type of call. If it's a mental episode, a family member should be called or their doctor. And now that's policy that should be pushed. Change these laws, whereas if there is a mental episode in a home, cops have no business there.
They really no business.
Stop calling 911. Exactly. No, call one of the. If this person, you know what, this should be the policy right here. Once you are prescribed a certain type of medication for schizophrenia, like that, what is it? I know some of them have like lithium and all of that. Once you have been prescribed whatever medication it is for schizophrenia, you should automatically be assigned to a caseworker. Whereas when you have a mental episode, that's who people should call. That should be on the outside of your door, so people don't even have to come in there. Call this
right person. Right,
and that's that. That medication should come with that sticker. Bam, you stick this on your door. You are assigned a social worker, and that social worker comes there, or whoever, your psychologist, whoever it is, they have to make sure that sticker is on the outside of your door. So that way nobody comes in there with guns and all that stuff.
It's so logical.
That's a whole lot of thinking on this stuff. Right.
Yeah.
If you don't like that idea, well, then come up with something other than cops coming in the house. Please. My God. I mean, how are you having a PTSD person coming in dealing with a schizophrenic person? That don't even make any sense.
Get rid of the firearm, but the first thing moving. It's like inviting demise. I just don't understand it.
They know what they want to do. They just want to see people destroyed.
Well, the artist's name was Harmonious Rosalie. Who did the painting.
So much.
God is an African woman, and the first man is being a black man, an African man. It is beautiful. It is quite beautiful.
Say her name again.
Harmonia Rosalie.
Okay.
Like harmonica. Harmonia.
Harmonia. Okay, Harmonia.
Harmonia.
Beautiful.
Rosales.
Beautiful. Well,
yes.
So you were about to say you can type that in, Google her, you can find.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Find this beautiful painting.
Yes.
And you'll see the older painting. It even has a picture of her.
Yes. I think the article that I read, she's like actually painting, it's like an image of her, her craft and in her space. It's very beautiful. And she looks like she's pretty young, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hats off to the sister. Maybe we can have her come on to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. Now, Feather, like, you're kind of breaking up a little bit. I'm hearing, like, you sound a little distant. And I'm kind of getting almost, like, half of your sentences, I believe.
Okay.
I don't hear you quite well.
Okay. Alrighty.
And I want everyone to hear you. Tonight, Featherlight, let's dig into our topic, because we have so much to talk about. Alternative Healing, Part 3, and Black Wall Street. And we want to honor those bombing victims and survivors. Pay homage to those people. But we want to start out with our alternative healing. Look, I'm thinking about African spirit. Alternative healing and the mudras.
Okay, let's talk about mudras. So what are mudras? And it's spelled M-U, D as in David, R-A-S. Those who have not actually seen the word. Our entire world, including our bodies, is made of the five elements.
five elements being earth, water, fire, wind, and space, or vacuum, ether, which is this tiny little intercellular spaces in our body. So these five elements constitute the human body, and as long as they are balanced and maintain appropriate levels, we remain healthy. And an imbalance of these elements in the body disrupts the immunity system and leads to deteriorated health and diseases. Now, this is what is important with regard to mudras. The command and control center of all of these five elements lies in our fingers. So literally, our health lies at our fingertips. These five fingers of the hand represent each of these elements and are connected to the vital organs in our body. And so this is the five, the finger element relationship. You have the thumb represents fire. The index finger represents wind. The middle finger represents space or vacuum.
The middle finger, I didn't hear you, it represents what?
The middle finger represents space or vacuum. The third finger represents earth. And the small finger represents water. When the fingers are brought together in a specific pattern, and they're touching each other or slightly pressed against each other, the formation is called the mudra. When the five fingers are touched and pressed in a peculiar way to form a mudra, it affects the levels of the five elements in our body. It directs the flow of the energy into our body. It stimulates different areas of the brain, resulting in balancing those elements and inducing good health. Now, while some mudras involve the hand, the entire body, most mudras involve the hand. And although you will see the demonstrations, if you were to Google mudras, they would show you different types of mudra signals or signs, symbols, and you will only see one hand, but that's because they're demonstrating it to you. But in order for the mudra to be highly effective, they suggest that you use both hands at the same time. Oh. And you hold that position. You don't just do that position and let it go. You hold that position for a certain period of time, and each mudra has its own instructions, and some mudras, in fact, will tell you where to place it, that particular formation on your body. So when a finger representing an element, particular element, is brought into contact with the thumb, that element is brought into balance, and therefore the disease caused by the imbalance is cured. So mudras start electromagnetic currents within the body, which balance various other elements, and they restore health. So simply, the joining of fingers creates an effect on the human body. It's very, very interesting, because everything is energy. If you were to take your hand and just like put a certain amount of energy behind that hand and, you know, just hurl it at somebody, that's a slap, right? And it's, you know, spinning. And if you take those same fingers and put them all together and then you put your thumb over those fingers, it's called a fist, and put even more power behind it, they can knock somebody. You know, so that the hand is very powerful
using certain amounts of energy. If you know what you're doing, if you're touching certain fingers together, there is a mudra that's called the balancing mudra. It's very simple.
Balance.
Balancing.
Oh, certainly.
Am I coming? Still coming? Going in and out?
No, I can hear you. I'm just thinking of what you're saying because I can always use some balancing in my life.
Okay. Right. Okay. This is very simple. Okay. You can do it just about anywhere while you're sitting, standing, walking, lying down, hands in your pockets, standing in the grocery store line, just anywhere, and it's very effective. Okay, so the overall effect is that you get calmer, more relaxed, concentrated. So it would be good to do in the middle of the day when you're running around in your work and things are getting a little stressed. Okay, so the thumb touches each one of the fingers in unison. Okay, so the thumb touches the tip of the index finger. So this opens up the root chakra. To the legs and the lower body, and it makes you calmer and more concentrated. The thumb touching the middle finger, this fosters patience. Fosters giving you less nerve. You just touch that, hold that, fosters patience. Your thumb touches the tip of your ring finger, this fosters energy, stability, and self-confidence.
Energy, stability, and self-confidence.
Self-confidence, right. The thumb touching the tip of the pinky finger, that's intuition and feeling. I like that. So if you're trying to, that would be good if you're trying to discern a particular situation or a particular person. You're asking for discernment or some kind of insightful guidance.
Exactly.
So,
questions you've been brooding over.
It's like our feet. You know, there's so many points in our feet. Energy points in our feet. That's where the reflexology of the hands and feet come from, because there's so many chakras and energy channels that are there in the hands and the feet, and it regulates a lot of how we feel, our health, and to study that would enhance your whole life. Some mudras are performed spontaneously by many people. So I would think that would be very powerful, like the Hakini mudra. This is where the tips of all the fingers on the right hand touch the corresponding fingertips from the left. You see a lot of entertainers do this. You know, they're touching all the right. That's called the Hakini mudra. So a lot of times when you see people,
can you spell that?
Sure. H as in Harry, A as in apple, K is in Keith, or Kenny, I, N is in Nancy, I, Hakini. So that's the Hakini mudra. And many people do that all at the same time.
That quite often. And
yeah, you do.
You think of people making a pyramid with that, but that's actually a hand mudra.
Yeah. And then you see the Gayan Mudra or the Chin Mudra. It has several names. There's a couple of them. Where the tip of the index finger touches the tip of the thumb.
Oh, yes.
And the three fingers are sort of like sticking out or free. So that one, it redirects your energy
within the flow of your body so that you can concentrate more and you can relax more so that you can go into meditation, which is really what it's for. And it also stimulates the energies in your root chakra. So that's very popular. That's one of the well better known mudras.
Absolutely. Even before I knew about hand mudras and that there was a such thing as hand mudras, when I would see yoga pictures or like the Buddha meditating, you would see that hand mudra. And I read also that it's a certain way, like it's a certain way if you want the energy to come into you or you need something to go out of you, there's certain mudras for that, for like receiving or letting go.
Right. Exactly. Releasing. And the Gaia mudra, the one. Go ahead. I'm sorry,
interrupted. No, I'm done. I just said receiving or releasing. There's certain mudras simply for that. If you just want to release something or receive, there's certain mudras that I think stem from that particular common mudra that you're speaking of.
Probably the Gayan mudra for the meditation. If you have your hand, if you have the palms down, you're grounding, and then the palms up, you're connecting with your higher self.
Yes, that's it. That's it exactly. You're such an expert, Feather Light. That's it. So, like, if you're meditating and sitting in the lotus position, if you have your hands in that Gayan mudra. And you're holding your hands facing down, like on your knees, then that one is for grounding more so. And then upwards, yes, upwards is...
Your palms up. They can be on your knees either way, but your palms up, connecting higher upward. Step, palms down, grounding.
Absolutely. And it's always better to start from that root chakra and work your way up.
Most definitely. The Christian crossing of the fingers and the prayer that many of us do, that's a mudra. That is also a mudra. And then when you do the namaste, the Indian greeting, which you're like as if you're praying, with all the hands held in front of the chest and the palms touching, facing each other. That's called an Anjali, A-N-J-A-L-I. Anjali Mudra. Namaste.
Alright. So that's it on the mudra.
There is one more that I kind of wanted to share without leaving it out. And I thought this was really good. I actually got this from a book. I purchased a book on mudras. And this is a mudra for weight loss. And the way that coming from the perspective of mudra, through the use of mudra, when it comes to burning excess fat, shedding the excess fat is the core concept of weight loss, but it's not the only thing that the mudras concentrate on. So they concentrate on methods of losing excess fat, preparing your internal system for effective digestion and assimilation, so that you won't gain weight after you've shed it. Once you shed it, because that's a lot of diets do. You'll drop that weight, but within a month or so or less, sometimes you gain it right back. So with this one, it's a method to keep you from gaining it back. Conditioning your body to curb excessive craving of unhealthy foodstuffs. That's why I've never really liked diets, because
to me, diets always felt like a punishment. It's like, oh, I want that so bad, but I'm on a diet. Oh. And then as soon as the diet is over, we'd be like, oh, I've been wanting this so bad. He's been
You know, because once again, this Western culture teaches us that a diet is something that you go on, but a diet is your meal plan. It's what you
eat.
It's not like, oh, let me sacrifice this. Oh, speaking of that, it's Ramadan time. So I think you say Mubarak or Ramadan. I should know that. But yes, it's Ramadan, so I just want to acknowledge that. But yeah, diet, it's just basically your meal plan.
Your lifestyle.
Have daily food schedule. Your lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you adjust that to a healthy lifestyle, then you don't have to go on diets. You may cleanse or fast for whatever reason, but you don't go on a diet. You just have a certain lifestyle, eating lifestyle.
And that's how I always heard it. I would always hear my girlfriend say, "I'm going on the diet. I'm going on a 2-week diet. For 2 weeks, I'm just going to eat cabbage." And so on, so, and that just sounds so crazy to me. I just never did like diet. I may say, well, I'm not going to eat so much bread, or I'm only going to have one slice of cake if I have cake, something like that. But I don't like torturing myself before food. Okay, so I like that. I like that idea of developing a strong willpower. To curb or condition yourself these cravings.
All right, well, let's take a quick break and then we can pick right back up on our topic of alternative healing, part 3, and Black Wall Street. And be sure to stay tuned for Love the Body and Ask the Spirit. You are tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show here on Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, and we are back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. And I hope that you still can hear that rattling sound. I don't know what's going on with that sound. Is that a little better, Featherlight?
Yes, I don't hear it. I don't hear it right now.
Okay, we're trying to eliminate all of that. I don't know what that is. It's the devil. It's just the devil. The devil just be busy. The devil just busy. Get thee from behind me, Satan. Woo, Lord have mercy. Okay, so let's see. We were speaking on our topic, alternative healing, part 3. But before we go back into that, I would love for people to log on to Black Talk Radio Network and be sure to donate And if you donate $25, you'll receive your Black Talk Radio Matters T-shirt. And also, while you are on the network page, you can log on to sign up for a BTR membership and sign on to BTR, the Black Talk Radio Network Social Experience. And you are tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. You can call in 866-510-9025 if you have a question or a comment. Tonight, we are picking back up on our topic, Alternative Healing Part 3, also honoring Black Wall Street. The events of Black Wall Street commenced on this day with the young brother being in the elevator. And we'll play a clip in just a few minutes about Black Wall Street, on Black Wall Street, and what started. But I found out something, a little detail that I was unaware of after listening to many videos on Black Wall Street. I don't know how I somehow missed this little detail. So that's why it's always a good practice to, even if you've read a book or watched a film or researched some history on something, go back and review that with a different set of ears and eyes. And it's amazing sometimes what we will learn or glean just from rereading that material. So, Featherlight, you were speaking on alternative healing, and we were talking about the mudras. And
well, I wanted to get back to a little bit more about Wall Street, and I thought you had a clip, okay. And then I'll pipe in some more with the mudras.
Okay, fantastic. But Black Wall Street. Let me just speak a little on Black Wall Street, and we'll tune into this clip, and we can share some of our thoughts. Black Wall Street. First of all, gosh, I think I was an adult before I really, really heard like a lot of the details about what happened in Greenwood, Black Wall Street, Little Africa, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Because many people want to forget that story. That's one of those cases that, or incidents that was, I guess, hidden from us for so many years. I mean, maybe people in Oklahoma discussed it, but I didn't really hear a lot about what happened during these days of this terror attack on a Black community in Oklahoma. But Von Wallace, a Tulsa native, sought to make nearly 5 years ago, he put together a whole documentary. I don't want to say 5 years ago because I'm not sure what year this was written in. But Ron Wallace, who is a Tulsa native, he began researching what has been called a riot, but actually this was a terroristic attack on this community. Mm-hmm. One of the worst incidents of violence ever on people of African descent during that time period in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Okay. Let's see. The date was June 1st, 1921, when Black Wall Street, the name fittingly given to one of the most affluent all-Black communities in America, was bombed from the air and burned to the ground by mobs of envious whites in a period spanning for fewer than 12 hours. A once thriving 36th Black business district in northern Tulsa lay smoldering, a model community destroyed, and a major African-American economic movement resoundingly diffused. And we spoke about this before, how the Gap Band actually developed their name or created their name because of the area. That's where they were from, the streets, Greenwood, mm-hmm. Archer, and what is it, Greenwood, Archer, and I can't think of that third street. That's with the P, we know that. But if anybody can look that up, that'll be great. But that's how the Gap Band came. I created their name, the Gap Band, because of those streets there in Little Africa. The knife carnage left some 3,000 African Americans dead and over 600 successful businesses lost. Among these were 21 churches, 21 restaurants, 30 grocery stores, and 2 movie theaters, a hospital, bank, post office, library, schools, law offices, half a dozen private airplanes. And I actually read somewhere that there were 12 black men that owned a plane. Each of them owned a plane. So this article that I'm reading says half a dozen private planes. But okay, so anyway, they even had a bus system. And this was a thriving community.
It was Greenwood, Archer, and Pine Street Black Road.
Oh, Pine. Oh, that's what you were saying. Pine. Great. Thank you. That's right. Pine Street. Greenwood, Archer, and Pine Street. And this community was likened to a mini Beverly Hills. There was oil on the land. So these black people were thriving. They had their pianos, their fur coats. They practiced nepotism. They hired each other's children. There was, Dr. Berry, who owned the bus system, his average income was $500 a day. And that was in 1910. That was in 1910.
Ooh,
that's
good
money. Have people at HEB and Walmart not earning $500 a day right now in 2017. They had jewelry stores, churches, restaurants, movie theaters, just a thriving community of 36 square blocks with a population of 15,000 African Americans. And when the lower economic Europeans looked over and saw what the black community created, many of them were quite envious. When the average student went to school on Black Wall Street, he wore a suit and a tie because of the morals and the respect they were taught at a young age. The mainstay of the community was to educate every child. The main thoroughfare was Greenwood Avenue. Yes, here we are right here. And it was intersected by Archer and Pine Streets. Okay. And there were over 28 black townships. One third of the people who traveled in the terrifying Trail of Tears alongside the Indians between 1830 and 1842 were black people. And these citizens of this proposed Indian and black state chose a black governor, a treasurer from Kansas named McDade. But the Ku Klux Klan said that if he assumed office, that they would kill him within 48 hours. However, a lot of blacks owned farmland, and many of them had gone into the oil business because of the oil there on that land. So we want to honor those people of Black Wall Street. The blueprint is there. We may not see this in our lifetime, see the light of a community like this. However, you never know. Some of these never thought that they would see a black president, so-called black president, but I mean, that's a whole nother story. But it would be so beautiful if we could at least see that pathway, see the inception of all of this. Or maybe not to an identical Black Wall Street, but to a point where we can have a sense of community and people at least working together, and our young people don't have to worry about employment and obtaining an excellent education, because this seems to have been the practice with Black Wall Street.
Right.
So
money kept flowing in the community.
I think it 36
so many
times.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I think 36 times. Okay, here it is right here. The dollar circulated 36 to 100 times. Sometimes taking a year for currency to leave the community.
Wow.
Can you believe that? So, it was a fascinating, thriving community. Fascinating, thriving community. Black Wall Street. And, you know, there's several, like, social media groups. Black Wall Street, like Black Wall Street, North Carolina, Black Wall Street, Memphis, Black Wall Street, Cleveland. So people are actually working towards, like, a renaissance of Black Wall Street throughout the country. So you can always connect. I've, like, signed up for some of those groups. So let's see, Scotty, if we could play that Black Wall Street clip. I believe it's the first clip. Clip one. This is a Black Wall Street clip. Just speaking about now the what was the impetus to the bombing that started on June the 1st.
On the eve of Memorial Day 1921, an incident in this building, the Drexel Building in downtown Tulsa, would trigger the worst race riot in American history. On the fourth floor was a restroom for colors only. Dick Rowland, a 19-year-old black shoeshine man called a boot black, entered the building to use the restroom. Sarah Page, a 17-year-old white girl, operated the elevator in the building. Something happened inside that elevator that caused Page to scream and set off a string of events that led to the destruction of Greenwood. Some believe Rowland tripped upon entering the elevator and grabbed Page's arm to balance himself. Others believe he perhaps stepped on her foot, prompting Page to scream. The most extreme belief is that Rowland attempted to rape Page in the elevator. And there's another account, corroborated by people who knew Rowland, that the two not only knew each other, but had been lovers.
According to one of the ladies I interviewed, Mama Alice, so she babysat Dick Rowland, and she knew the girl, the elevator girl. She said they were boyfriend and girlfriend. She knew that.
Regardless of what happened in the elevator, a clothing store clerk witnessed Rowland leaving the building and apparently heard Paige scream. The clerk believed that Paige had been sexually assaulted and summoned police. And though Page never brought charges against Rowland, he was arrested in the morning. All day on May 31st, word spread that a young white woman had been victimized by a black man. At 3 p.m., in the afternoon edition of the Tulsa Tribune newspaper, an openly racist paper at the time that referred to Greenwood as, quote, Niggertown, the flames were fanned by a hastily printed, instigative front-page article titled Negro for Attacking Girl in Elevator. Even though there was no evidence, the article stated that Rowland attacked her, scratched her hands and face, and tearing her clothes. Once the Tribune hit the streets, reaction amongst the whites was unanimous. According to Ross T. Warner, a manager at the Tulsa Machine and Tool Company,
and then the taco lynching spread like prairie fire.
Rowland was held at the Tulsa County Courthouse. Just as the sun was setting at about 7:30, a crowd of hundreds gathered there, demanding that Rowland be released. The mob wanted Rowland to be freed so they could lynch him. Fortunately for Dick Rowland, Tulsa had just elected a new sheriff, Willard M. McCullough. McCullough was determined to maintain order at the courthouse and placed armed deputies around the building. Word of a mad mob gathering to lynch Rowland quickly spread to Greenwood as well. Blacks were determined not to stand idly by. Many of them had just returned home from World War I and were ready to help defend Rowland from a rope.
They said, they will not lynch on our watch. We will not have it.
At 9 o'clock, 25 of the men armed themselves with shotguns and rifles and marched to the courthouse to offer their support to authorities. But their offer was turned down, and they left. Within 30 minutes, the crowd outside the courthouse continued to gather, and by now had doubled to 2,000. At 10 o'clock, a second wave of 75 black men went back to the courthouse to offer help once again. But this time, they were confronted by the growing mob who had been drinking heavily for hours. Shots rang out, and when the smoke had cleared, 12 men lay dead. Outgunned and severely outmanned, the blacks fled back to Greenwood, pursued by members of the mob. Dr. George H. Miller heard the gunshots outside his office, and he ran to find a bleeding black man and said this:
"I went over to see if I could help him as a doctor, but the crowd was gathering around him and wouldn't even let the driver of the ambulance, which just arrived, pick him up. The crowd was getting more and more belligerent. The Negro had been shot so many times in his chest, and men from the onlookers were slashing him with knives."
The situation grew worse by the minute. By midnight, about 500 men and boys from the mob were sworn in as special deputies at police headquarters and given badges. One of the new deputies, Laurel G. Buck, stated that police officers told the new recruits to get a gun and get a nigger. By 1 a.m., the white mob began setting fire to black homes and businesses. The first wave of Tulsa firefighters were kept at bay by armed rioters. And in other instances, the Tulsa Fire Department did nothing to extinguish the flames. Herbert Johnson was a supervisor with the fire department. He was also an admitted member of the Ku Klux Klan. Throughout the night, Greenwood burned and blacks were hunted down and shot on sight. One group of rioters broke into an elderly couple's home. The husband and wife were praying. The rioters shot them in the back of their heads. At about 5 a.m., the remaining black men who had guns made a last stand for their lives to protect their family and themselves by retreating up Standpipe Hill, an elevated perch just off of Greenwood Avenue. Though they are said to have fought gallantly, the machine gun fire eventually overwhelmed them. By daybreak on June 1st, Greenwood was still in.
Okay, so I don't know if that cut off.
That was the end of the video.
That was the end of it. Oh, okay. All right. Thanks, Scotty. Thank you so much. So that was a clip on Black Wall Street. I thought it was a little longer than that. But you know what? What I heard in that clip, Featherlight, mm-hmm. something that I was unfamiliar with, because the incident that took place like today on the 31st, which was the impetus to the whole wanting to lynch this young man, was the young man was in the elevator with the young girl. But see, the story that I've always read and heard and viewed in the documentaries that I've watched was that he just bumped up into the young lady and then she screamed, "Wait!" Like Ida B. Wells said, that same old threat bearing lie that a black man raped somebody, right? But I never heard that these two possibly had a little relationship going on.
Relationship.
Exactly. Which has oftentimes been the case in a lot of these so-called reasons to go out and lynch somebody. They find out that, she screamed rape, but actually they've been in a relationship. And everybody knew it. But she got caught with the black man, and now all of a sudden she wants to holler rape. So, my God, I was unfamiliar with that little tidbit of history. Not sure how true that is. I would love to find out more details about that. Maybe if we could speak with Miss Olivia Hooker. Her name is Olivia Hooker. Let's see. Yeah, she did not press charges.
She left town.
She left town. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't blame. I would love to.
Yeah.
She did scream rape. She was caught coming out of the elevator with the young man, And so someone saw her coming out of the elevator, so she allowed people to assume that she was being attacked by this young man in the elevator. When in actuality, the story that has been told is that he bumped up into her because the elevator shook. This was an old-time elevator. First of all, this was one little broke, poor little white girl because she was an elevator worker. What quarter? Remember, that was the job that at one time people began to give black men, you know, the elevator porter. So you mean to tell me this little white girl, poor little old white girl, she working as an elevator operator, and these people own businesses and airplanes? So you know that there was some animosity floating through the air of little Africa. So, my goodness. You know, I just didn't put all of that together. I'm just kind of like connecting those dots now, especially with this revelation of they possibly could have been in a relationship. Because, you know, I would think, too, well, why are you getting in the elevator? With my mindset today, though, I always have to remember that. Why are you getting in the elevator with this little white girl when it could be a possibility of you being accused of raping her? But, again, you wouldn't think that, just like you wouldn't think that right now you could just walk down the street at the University of Maryland and somebody take you to step to the side and then they decide to assault you with a knife. So, yes, you know, it's just those are the times. But interesting bit of history. Black Wall Street, yes. And, but she did not press charges. And see, she didn't press charges because I'm sure deep down in her heart and spirit, she knew, I cannot press charges on my lover like this.
Right. There was some back and forth about her statement in the newspaper, because I do remember reading that uphold the story that was being told in the newspaper. She was saying, no, that's not true. That's not true what the newspaper said. I do remember reading that.
Well, that's some history on Black Wall Street. So we pay honor to Greenwood. And I should have had a little, you dropped a bomb on me, baby. You dropped a bomb on me. You turn me on, you turn me out. You dropped a bomb on me. All right, I did my own music. How you like that? You remember that little bomb sound they used to have? And look, we had no idea they were talking about Tulsa, Oklahoma. I mean, we just went down up there.
I had no idea either. I mean, it had
no
a
idea.
Real bomb sound.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Did not even know. Uncle Charlie was trying to hip us to the game back then. That's why I love Uncle Charlie.
Back then.
I love him.
Drop the bomb on me.
Well, who told you, Scotty? When did you find out? Because, see, I didn't find out until, gosh, I don't even know. I'm not sure. Because I love documentaries, so I don't know.
Out.
I can't even remember how I found out. But how did you find out about what? About Black Wall Street?
In a little Jew joint, one of the old heads told me.
Dropping the knowledge on you.
Yep.
Okay. So he just started telling you about the story of Black Wall Street. All right then. So I think, let's see, we're up for a break in a few minutes, Featherlight. How about, let me share my clarity piece, and then you want to share, you have some spoken word for us?
No, I don't.
You don't? Okay. I thought you had spoken words. I was very looking forward to one of your spoken words. Okay, let me see. All right. So, do you know that 80% of people between the ages of 18 and 44 check their cell phone or like some type of device within the first 15 minutes of waking up? 80%. people between the ages of 18 and 44. They check their smartphone within 15 minutes of waking up. Your subconscious mind works continuously while you are awake and while you are asleep. And your subconscious never rests, and it's always on duty because it controls your heartbeat. So let's see, 10 minutes before you go to sleep, you should never go to sleep without a request to your subconscious. Mm-hmm. So make that request. Make that request to your subconscious. It is common practice for many of the world's most successful people to intentionally direct the workings of their subconscious mind while they are sleeping. I'm reading this series called The Arcane Teachings, and so all of it, mind and visualization, books on visualization and like controlling your destiny and thoughts. And that's something that is mentioned, just basically making that request, putting it out there to the universe, as some people say. And meditate on that while you're asleep. And your mind will meditate on that while you're asleep. So take a few moments before you go to bed and just meditate and write down the things that you're trying to accomplish. So meditate on them and write them down. And you ask yourself loads of questions, and you make those requests and be specific, and you'll receive those answers. Your mind will get to work on those. And 10 minutes after you wake up, 10 minutes after you wake up, okay, research confirms the brain specifically, the brain is most active and ready to create immediately following sleep. That's why I love to take a nap, a little power nap. See, power naps work. Take that power nap. Your subconscious mind has been loosely mind wandering while you were asleep. Okay, so take some time when you wake up and just write those thoughts down. Just dump all of those thoughts in a journal for like 10 minutes rather than just like starting on something else, like jumping up, checking your cell phone, or jumping up, doing whatever, start taking tasks, doing tasks or something like that. Have some time for yourself. Always take some time and just kind of relax in bed and meditate a little bit. Just think things through. But I do not journal as soon as I wake up, so I will make an attempt to incorporate that in my early morning activities, my morning components. So, let's see. Write those thoughts when you wake up, and also write those thoughts when you go to bed or think about them. And you will become a stronger version of yourself, which is something that we strive for here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. Okay, so African Spirit. Let's go into our African Spirit for tonight. And we are honoring the MOVE people, the brothers and sisters of MOVE in Philadelphia. Like I said, when I read that little booklet on the MOVE brothers and sisters, I mean, it just really changed my life. So if we could just share a little of this clip on the brothers and sisters in MOVE. If you're not familiar, do Google or Goggle Ramona or Pam or John Africa or Debbie Africa, the MOVE 9. Just Google, because I mean I couldn't even begin to condense all of their activism in just a few minutes. These were some powerful, strong brothers and sisters. They were just on the right side of history at the time. They were all about community and taking care of each other, and even the stray animals. We've spoken about the MOVE brothers and sisters before, but I just want to just give them some more time to just honor them here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show, because May 13th was the anniversary when, again, another bomb was dropped on the community. C4, we just had the little helicopter just drop a whole big package of C4 on a community, on a home with men, women, and children. I think 65 other homes were burned, just all because of Rizzo and Mayor Good. Mayor Rizzo and then Mayor Good did not want to move people in the community. So these people were terrorized continuously through two mayors and a vicious police department. So right now today we have Mumia Abu-Jamal in jail on some bull crap behind all of this, what happened with MOVE in Philadelphia in 1984. So, Scotty, if we could go
if the city does try to come in here and get you out, what are you going to do?
We'll do what's necessary, man.
What is that?
But first, understand why he's coming in here.
What are you... Body. If the city does try to come in here and get you out, what are you going to do?
We'll do what's necessary, man.
What is that?
But first, understand why he's coming in here.
What are you going to do?
All right. We're going to do what's necessary.
What is that?
The strategy of John Africa.
What is that?
Our only defense.
What is that?
The strategy of John Africa.
You aren't telling me anything. You're just saying the strategy.
Hey, I wouldn't tell my strategy to you.
Do you expect them to come in?
Confrontation in Philadelphia between MOVE and the Rizzo administration forces was frozen in photographs and splashed across the press of the nation. Pictured was surrendering MOVE member Delbert Africa being beat and kicked by four policemen. Moments earlier, Officer James Ramp was shot dead. Fourth largest in the country, Philadelphia is a city whose black population has tripled since the Second World War. In the wake of the civil unrest of the 60s, then police commissioner Frank Rizzo ran for mayor on a law and order platform and won. The year Rizzo took office in 1972 was the same year that the MOVE organization, comprised of the family Africa, began to mobilize. MOVE demonstrated against police stations, school board officials, and public figures such as Jane Fonda, Jesse Jackson, and a variety of others who would, in their words, mislead the people with misinformation, offering only the problem and not a solution.
Completely disrupted a meeting, and Jane Fonda and Tom Hayden walked out, and I walked out, and most of us walked out.
The media has called MOVE a back to nature group of radicals, the human species at its lowest form, and finally wrote the word MOVE means nothing at all. In response to the press, Delbert Africa wrote, MOVE means what it says. MOVE, get active, change, revolution.
Listen to what John Africa writes. This is a quote from him. The MOVE organization is a powerful family of revolutionaries, fixed in principle, strong in cohesion, steady as the foundation of a massive tree. Long live John Africa, hero!
MOVE says John Africa is our founder and goes by no other name. The media has identified John Africa as Vincent Leapart, a third grade dropout and handyman who lived in an area of Philadelphia known as Powhatan Village.
That man didn't even complete elementary school. He can neither read nor write.
You're talking about education.
But his wisdom surpasses any man's walk on the face of this earth. He's got all answers for everything. Every question you could ask, he got the answer for it. This is what John Africa gave us. And we tell anybody, if you say you got it, you better be right.
Spring of 1975, some of MOVE's Powhatan Village neighbors complained to the city of threats, the smell of garbage, and rats. City officials announced plans to coordinate a health and housing inspection. MOVE refused to let them in. Year after year, MOVE's encounter with the police ended in injuries and arrest. By 1975, MOVE members had been arrested hundreds of times, with bail amounting close to $1 million. They reacted by strengthening their religious discipline and securing their homes from intrusion. Court, they represented each other. In jail, they went on hunger strikes. On each side, the charges mounted. MOVE accused the city of systematic persecution and violence, resulting in two stillbirths and the death of an infant crushed in a police attack. The city charged MOVE with everything short of larceny and murder, climaxing with a plot to obtain nuclear weapons. On May 20th, 1977, MOVE brandished weapons from their Powhatan Village headquarters platform, saying no longer will we be beaten or intimidated by the police without a like response.
It's because we know the psychological effect that it has on them cops, right? Them cops was thinking about their individual lives. That's why we had guns. We knew that Rizzo had to come to us if you wanted to make arrests. So the guns was used to narrow down the arrest.
From that day on, constant police surveillance which lasted a year, surrounded the MOVE compound, costing the city millions of dollars. MOVE sparked a significant amount of community support by speaking out on police abuse. Many demonstrations were held as hundreds of people rallied to MOVE's defense. Early March of the following year, Rizzo announced that if MOVE did not leave their headquarters, the city would erect the blockade so tight, even a fly wouldn't be able to get in. March 16, 1978, a blockade went up involving 1,000 police officers. That night, Rizzo launched a campaign urging armed whites to fight blacks for better jobs, decent housing, and a better life. The day before, he announced that he would drop his bid for a third term as mayor. During the next 55 days, residents of the barricaded area carried passbooks and were subject to body checks. Police marksmen sat in windows and behind sandbags across the street. No food or water was permitted to enter the MOVE compound. On May 9th, MOVE surrendered its weapons and allowed the city to search their home. In the form of a court order, the city gave MOVE 90 days to move. August 2nd, 1978, the 90 days were up and MOVE had not left their headquarters.
Ain't no deadline as far as the teachings of John Africa go. This is our house. We're going to always be here. We're going to never recognize no deadline set by no sadistic goon like Rizzo.
MOVE, its supporters, the media, and police waited and prepared themselves for the confrontation as a judge issued warrants against 21 MOVE members for violating the original court order.
Petition and accompanying affidavits and upon mention of Sheldon A. Albert, city solicitor, attorney for the plaintiff petitioner, a rule is hereby granted upon Janet Holloway, Consuela Dotson, Janine Africa, Charles Sims, Edward Goodman,
every time you civilize maniac murder,
Merrill Austin, Alberto Wicker, Sharon Penn, Gail, Debbie Sims, Dennis Sims, Frank James, Philip Smith, Delbert Orr, Carlos Perez, Rhonda Ward, Debbie Zelda Sims, Michael Davis, Raymond Chester, Robert Moses, Sue Leon, Conrad Hampton.
Excuse the murder. We ain't gonna give it to you. Come on with it. You ain't gotta come up here with
that. Occupying or residing the premises,
Sam,
307-309 North 33rd Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to show cause why passports with a contempt of court.
Sam, you see us right here.
You see the court right here, man. Why should we go to court to give some kind of sanction to this so-called legal murder?
Is it gonna stop him from killing us? We've been going to court for 6 years, and Rizzo's still talking about bringing his bullshit to our door. Talking about bringing his Gestapo troops in our home.
Talking about law and order. He's been talking about murder at the same time. Talking about he gonna concern for kids while steadily arming them SWAT troops, them fat, filthy cops up there with machine guns and all other kind of gap-dealing merchandise. And talking about he concerned about somebody. This man is talking about killing somebody over a so-called civil contempt of court. Since when has death been the penalties for contempt of court?
We saying, you know, don't look at MOVE as crazy. Look at your boss as crazy. When you got somebody that's talking about...
All right, and so that was a clip on the MOVE brothers and sisters in Philadelphia. I mean, just so much I can just say about that one little clip, but you can watch tons of videos on the MOVE, Ramona Africa, Pam Africa, speaking on... the bomb dropping on innocent people, 11 people killed, including 5 babies. So tonight we honor the MOVE 9, the innocent men and women of MOVE 9, Eddie Africa, Janine Africa, Janet Africa, Delbert Africa, Phil Africa, Merle Africa, Deborah, Chuck, and Mike, and always Pam and Ramona Africa, and all other brothers and sisters that we're unfamiliar with. We want to honor them tonight here at Mind, Body, and Spirit for our African Spirit segment. We honor you. I love the way that the MOVE brothers and sisters were standing up to tyranny, speaking about, I love this, I had to make a little note of this, the way he spoke, I believe it was Dilbert Africa, speaking about bringing those Gestapo troops. And then they're talking about law and order and murder, all in the same vein.
In the same breath. Yes.
Okay, exactly. And if you look at the documentary and the videos, you'll see how they were just standing there in front of their property where they were just trying to mind their own business and live a natural, raw life, community mm-hmm. life, communal lifestyle. And these people have snipers, what do you call it, cap-pilling merchandise armed at them. And this is, again, not an isolated event, because if you look at the same videos, I think it was the 1920 or 1921 so-called riot in New Jersey, when these troops attacked the black community. They were all posted all up in these buildings with snipers and rifles. So we've always absolutely, we have always been under attack. Have been under attack. It's ridiculous. And I'm so tired of feeling like this, and I do not want to see our offspring have to grow up into this same type of fearful lifestyle, being under terrorist attack, because that's what we're under, terrorist attack. And it's just stressful, and we have to keep walking around mm-hmm. here like everything is okay. No. Well, I keep telling people, call, go see a therapist. We need to record this. This needs to be documented. If you're not going to see a therapist, document this, because this needs to be recorded during this time period, how we were experiencing this terrorism. If we don't record this now, right, if we don't record it now, then how will our offspring know what we experienced and how to overcome this? See, we can read about the history of Black Wall Street and the move, and y'all, and the Candaces. We can read about all of that because that history was recorded. Don't think that we have overcome all of that. We're still going through wars and battles. Exactly. We're on the battlefield. Mm-hmm. So we have to record this. So anyway, just want to share that. So Featherlight, we want to move on into our Love the Body.
Yes, Love the Body. It's time for
Love the Body. You know what? We are on the same page as usual, because I was just getting ready to say next week I want to have some intro music. That's a little loud.
I know.
I'll have some intro music. I have some more Spicale music that we can use. We have some music. Right.
Good.
And we need an African drum playing sound to introduce the African spirit. I've been meaning to do that for about a month. I'm just super busy. Guys, we're getting a TV show together. We'll be letting you know more about that coming up soon. So we've been super busy with Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. So send your energy, your positive energy towards us, so that we can accomplish this goal. And you know what I'm going to start doing for my clarity starting tonight is make sure that I think about, which I do, I think about things, but when I wake up in the morning, I don't make those requests, though. I think about things, but I don't make those requests as I should, and I have not been journaling. So I will start that, because I need to really accomplish these goals with our project. So, all right, Featherlight, I'm so ready to love the body. I'm so ready to breathe.
Okay, before I start in with the love of the body, I wanted to finish my little piece on the mudras and finish that up and give a couple of general tips for using the mudra. To use a mudra, you must keep it at least a couple of minutes for it to be effective. And it's usually more effective to do them a while longer, like 15 minutes or so. You can easily spread that time out over a day. And you can also use it as part of your meditation. So while you're sitting and meditating, you could do one of the mudras. And they're all online. All you've got to do is type in mudra, M-U-D-R-A. When you hold your finger positions, do them with both hands at the same time. It's a lot more powerful to do them than with just one hand. And as I said before, you can do some simple mudras that are very easy and effective while you're just standing in line. Do the four mudras of balancing, touching the thumb with each one of your fingers. And this one that I wanted to share with you lastly for weight loss is very interesting, and you may be able to now this is in a book, so I wanted to share this. I'm not sure if it's online. It's you clasp the fingers of both of your hands together, and you keep the thumb of your left hand straight and erect. So your fingers are sort of like balls in a fist, and your left, you keep your thumb of your left hand straight and erect. Okay, so do this for both of your hands, and then you hold them over your abdomen, the front of your abdomen. It's about bringing all of the five elements together, with the fire element, which is your thumb, ruling them all. So it's a very effective mudra. It's a very strong one. You can do this mudra for no more than 5 to 7 minutes at a time. It's that powerful. And this mudra creates a lot of heat in the body, so don't overdo it. This is a weight loss mudra. And you can perform multiple sessions of this mudra, resting between 3 to 4 minutes. So this also reduces laziness, and it's the most effective mudra for burning fat. And one other benefit of this mudra, it increases one's overall sexual capability. Now, my references are Health and Yoga, Intuitive Flow, The Magic of the Hand, and Mudras for Weight Loss by Advait, A-D-V-A-I-T, and Mudras for Awakening the Child. Let's get into mind, body, and spirit. Love the body. Love the body. Death begins in the colon. Have you ever heard that phrase, death begins in the colon?
Yes, recently, since so many people are dying from colon and pancreatic cancer.
Oh, definitely. Now, I heard this years and years and years ago, because I was reading about health and stuff. And it's just the things that you put in your colon, they tend to stay in your colon if you don't cleanse your body. So, one good way...
Yes. You know what? You know what? You're exactly right, because when I did start hearing about how important it is to cleanse your colon, I remember I started having those colonic cleansings back in Memphis.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So
it's important that this is done on a regular basis. I mean, one or two, three bowel movements a day, it's not really going to get it. You periodically need to just cleanse the colon, because really death does start in the colon, because everything goes through the colon, your blood, and then the blood goes through all of your organs, and it can put a lot of toxins into your body. So one good
yes.
way,
and if I could just dovetail what you're sharing about colon cleansing, and the reason why we have to cleanse our colon is because, even though, as you mentioned, you may have a bowel movement after every meal, you still have a lot of waste that gets attached, that remains attached to the insides of your colon. So that's
right.
Why we have to flush it out.
Right. Exactly. It remains on the sides of your colon. So one good way of cleansing your colon is to eat watermelon. Actually, eating watermelon, sitting on the porch, that used to be a custom of our people. And now, so many people, I don't know, they stop eating watermelon. They think it's degrading or what have you. But I wanted to give some benefits of watermelon. Watermelon is 92% water. Our body is over 70% water. It makes you feel full. It improves your digestion. It gives you fiber. It's low in calories. It's only 46 calories for one cup, and that's about as low as with any of the food. It's packed with vitamin C, A, potassium, magnesium, vitamin B, vitamin B5, vitamin B6, lycopene, which has many health benefits. It fights cancer,
particularly in your digestive system. Citrulline, which relieves sore muscles, the watermelon juice. It also fights inflammation, which is the cornerstone of many of our diseases. So eating watermelon is not only good for you, it's healthy, it gets rid of excess weight, and it cleanses your colon. Here is another natural colon cleanse that you can do. One cucumber, two stalks of celery, one bunch of kale, two cups of spinach, one cup of pineapple chunks, one lemon, two cups of distilled water, and blend them together. And this is a very powerful colon cleanse. So do that. Try that. That is another good way of extending your life and making your life more vital, giving your life more vitality, having a
delicious
system. Mm-hmm. Cucumber, two stalks of celery, kale, it's high in minerals, two cups of spinach, high in fiber, a cup of pineapple chunks that burns the fat, lemon, it's cleansing, it's a natural laxative, and your distilled water. So that's very good. One last little tip before we do our breathing. Sleeping in the bus, not recommended with small children around or pets in the bed. Researchers found sleeping in a chilly room, staying cool by sleeping naked, increases brown fat, a healthy type of fat that burns calories, that makes to make heat. So for the best night's sleep, aim for a bedroom temperature of about 65 degrees. Keep your hands and feet warm, and men and women who sleep in their underwear or tight pajamas are more likely to get genital infections due to trapped heat and moisture. Yes. Remove those panties and shorts and let yourself breathe. So
the best. Yeah, well, I believe in that.
And it's really good for couples sleeping in the nude because the skin-to-skin contact between each other triggers the release of the feel-good hormone, oxytocin. It sounds like a drug, but it's a feel-good hormone. And it increases the feeling of connection between partners, relieves stress, and lowers blood pressure.
And it's
Yeah, it really is. I do have a hard time, though, with that. I have to admit. Oh my God, my panties! Oh, I just feel so naked. Okay, so we're gonna do square breathing.
Okay.
This is 4-4-4. Anytime you feel stressed or anxiety, it balances you. So that's why it's called a square breathing. It balances all parts of your internal system. So the inhale, pause. The internal retention, the exhale, and then the empty pause. There are four. It's a count of four. So you don't have to remember any other numbers, just four. Inhale, four. One, two, three, four. Hold, four. Release, four. Pause, four. Start all over. Okay. So let's go. Inhale. One, two, three, four. Got this tell you to relax your shoulders, raise your shoulders up to your ears, let them drop, six. Relax, take a deep breath, breathe with the belly. Inhale. One more time of deep breathing. Inhale. Exhale. Exhale, remember to exhale the toxin. So let's start with the square breathing. Inhale, four. One, two, three, four. Hold. Two, three, four. Exhale. Four, pause.
Inhale. Pause. Exhale. Take one deep inhale, hold, 1, 2, 3, 4, and exhale, 6. Oh, lovely. Thank you so much for participating in Feather Life. Anayama, breathing, namaste, have a lovely week.
Namaste, Feather Light. Oh, Feather Light, I forget, thank you for that breathing exercise, but I forgot to mention that LeBron James' house was vandalized today in Los Angeles. Yes, and he gave a statement, and he mentioned that this was reminiscent of the time period of Emmett Till. So, LeBron, my goodness, brother. Mm-hmm. Now, they attacking you right in the N-word. I'm like my friend says, the N-word, right in the N-word, mm-hmm. on your beautiful mm-hmm. home in Los Angeles. I mean, they generally, people love an athlete. They will.
They do.
Are excused for the most part.
Yes.
So, poor little LeBron was attacked, and you know Tiger Woods, he was pulled over for the so-called DUI. But Tiger Woods said that he was on medication. So, yes, he said he was on medication. So, and that's why I'm fearful, very fearful and leery of ingesting some of these medications because they are narcotics. They're scheduled drugs. They're narcotics.
They tell you the side effects.
Absolutely. Don't drive when you don't operate a motor vehicle.
Not operate a machine. Right.
Do not operate a motor vehicle or machinery while taking this prescription. Best to you, Tiger, and best to you, LeBron, and best to all of us out here on the streets, living your life and just trying to do what's right. Going to church and work and school and all of this, may you be protected. Look out for each other. Walk in groups. That's one thing I remember when I was a student at the University of Memphis. All of the other students, like the Asian students or the Indian students, they would always walk in groups. They were always in their groups mm-hmm. of threes or fours. You never saw any of the Indian women or the Asian women, like the Japanese women. You never saw them walking alone. They were always escorted. And see, that's something that we have got to return to. Sisters walk together. Brothers walk together. Brothers walk with the sisters. And sisters walk with the brothers. And be able to fight.
Right.
Understanding this. Be able to defend yourself. Be able to defend yourself. Invest in some classes. Self-defense, some Krav Maga, some jiu-jitsu, aikido. Do something. Street fight. Ask your uncle to teach you how to box. Do something. Because as you can see, these people are crazy. And they're attacking us in so many ways. So I just pray for everybody's protection. And may you have a prosperous week going into June. Peace and namaste.
Namaste.